Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You got to learn how to live in your fantasy.
Will you just get on with it, Marcus?
Let's press this button then.
Marcus.
I'm the scat man.
Marcus, will you stop scatting all over the podcast?
Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I thought it was good as well.
Yeah. Do you want another one?
I think I've done quite well there.
Yeah.
Yeah, behind the curtain, Marcus often scats before the show.
Listen to the scat man and you'll see, actually, how like for like that was. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson is also...
If listeners are confused at this point, it's going to probably get worse.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Never
That's
mind.
Fine. That's fine.
It. He's dead now, the scat man.
He is, yeah. He passed away fairly recently.
And what a fitting tribute.
It was like 10 years ago.
What a fitting, overdue tribute.
Siri B will introduce green cards this season to reward good behaviour.
What's that? Green cards, Marcus?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. This is nothing to do with living in America. there will be no advantage gained on the field if you receive a green card, but names will be noted and they'll be tallied up at the end of the season and presumably prizes will be handed out. And I'd like to say that I should be the one handing them out.
It's quite a quaint idea.
It
sounds like the sort of thing you'd expect to be done in like an under-10s league in like a home county somewhere.
Yeah, but like a schools league. Very much like, you know, you like everyone gets a medal for taking part and if you're a particular like brown nose, you get a certificate as well.
Everyone's the most improved player because we've all learnt a little bit about ourselves and each other.
Absolutely. Well, other examples of how to earn a green card include kicking the ball out of play for an injured player or admitting straight away that you've dived.
Oh, no, whoa, hang on a minute.
I'm not having that.
No. Admitting
that puts you back to zero.
Yeah, if you admit straight away that you've dived, you're at the very best even and you shouldn't have done it in the first place anyway, so you are going to be still in trouble then.
It's in Italy.
So, but what you're saying, if you don't dive, you don't get anything. But if you do dive, then admit it, you get a green card.
Yeah.
It's a flawed system.
Yeah, I've not thought it through.
Italy.
What if the teams in Italy that were naughty back in the day, like 10 years ago in Serie A,
last season.
What if they sort of went, oh, sorry, we did all that stuff. Are we allowed to stay in the league?
Well, it looks that way, doesn't it?
Juventus not only get their Serie A titles back, they also get green cards.
They get a green cup, given that the offence was so heinous.
Yeah. Well, the idea is to improve the image of Italian football after its many recent controversies. Some of the ones just slightly touched upon by the lads there. Incidentally, the start of the Serie B season was postponed for a short while because of a match-fixing inquiry. Yeah. But how would you... I put it to
Were
you...
Were they fixing giving out the green cards?
Maybe. Yeah. I put it to you, chaps, and myself. How would you try to earn a green card if playing in Serie B, Jim?
Marcus, I would simply turn down a bribe. that's all you need to do, isn't it? That's all these players need to do to stop this. Players and officials and referees,
Jim,
and whoever's involved.
Doesn't that fall under the category of you should be doing that anyway, though?
Yeah, but by the sounds of it, you can get a green card for this.
Well, the bar's very low, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. I mean, like...
But this is on the field of play.
Again.
On the field of play.
Well, I mean... It's mine to answer as I want, isn't it? I would just turn down a bribe on the pitch.
You could go over to the touchline to take a throw and the opposite team could try and catch your ear. It could happen.
I'm from a betting syndicate.
Yeah, it could happen.
make this a foul throw.
Okay. Luke, what have you got?
Have you guys seen the popular American situation comedy? My Name is Earl.
Popular.
Yeah.
Do you like any British ones? Wasn't it?
No, I'm not. I can't think of any at the moment.
They're all Scientologists, weren't they?
In that show, he goes back and tries to right all the wrongs he's done in the past. I think what I would do is I would get a referee to follow me around my life in general and just watch me right all the wrongs I've made in the past and then hopefully get a green card for each one of them and pack up a big stack of green cards.
You could go back and, like, if you were the player at fault, you could go and do surgery on David Boost, for example.
Yes, that's a great example.
Tape his leg on. Yeah.
Have you seen his leg now? Because he got MRSA in hospital, didn't he? Like, he got, like, proper muscle wastage from it. That's why he had to retire.
But the way you said that was no one had operated on him. It has been operated.
Look what happened.
Yeah, true.
MRSA'd.
Yeah, true.
Pete, how would you try to earn a green card if playing in Serie B? Just to remind everybody the question.
I would get a really healthy bowl of fruit and put vanishing spray on it and eat it like a sundae to sort of teach the kids to eat healthy all the time. And if you're going to eat cream, make it invisible cream.
If he gets the points, I'm leaving the podcast.
Hey, well, quick, Marcus,
top
give
of the league,
him.
Mate. Top of the league.
Through default, I will get the points here, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't matter how bad or good my answer is.
Oh, what?
A healthy fruit and an invisible spray sundae.
Yeah. It's not invisible, it's vanishing spray.
Kids. Yeah. Fruit and mystery chemicals.
We made that mistake, haven't we? We made the mistake that the commentator made. It's actually vanishing spray, not invisible spray, is it?
Phil Neville called it imaginary spray.
Oh, that's right. That's even worse.
I call it phantom spray. Yeah.
What was that thing Phil Neville tweeted accidentally? Something about... He tweeted something in Spanish, and he effectively said, "Yeah, I've just been down on the beach, or something like that.
I think ejaculated on the beach,
something like that."
Yeah, that's nice. Right. That was no accident.
So yeah, I mean, imaginary spray is not the biggest of his crimes, is it? Yeah. Although to be fair, that is in his first language,
a literal sex crime.
Come on, Marcus, put a bullet in this.
Take this question to the fucking glue factory.
If two players squared up to each other on the field of play in Serie B, there's the points in the bag already. And the opposition, they were about to get stuck in and it was all going to kick off then. I'd form a circle around what's going on with my teammates, join hands, and everyone would sing Ring a Ring of Roses to diffuse the situation.
Are you
from the Beano?
Jim, that's got me the points.
You are Walter the Softy.
Yeah, very much so.
You're not
in Dennis's cool gang.
Your best friend is a teddy bear.
Would that not diffuse
the
situation?
No, it would warm me up.
Yeah. No, it would diffuse it. Because everyone would be like, what the hell is going on?
Exactly, yeah, that's not necessarily
a bit
good,
like
is
how
it?
How I feel now.
If you're getting a card for doing something confusing, then yeah.
Okay. Whoever tallies up the points, and God bless you for that, then... one to me there. Now let's go on to the European Championship qualification because proper points were dished out. It's bloody getting good, isn't it?
It's football on the Scatman's world stage.
Yes. Let's go to Group E. England bossing it.
Group England?
Oh, smashing it up.
Yeah. Romping it.
San Marino with the latest to...
San Marino who?
Yeah. You've got more cars than people, you idiots.
Yeah, Flan Marino.
Jim, do you want to join
him? No.
Okay. England hammered them 6-0, the latest side to be put to Roy Hodgson's sword.
To St George's sword. Doesn't even need a shield.
Flattened under the Roy Hodgson steamroller.
Smash the San Marinian or whatever you would call them, dragons.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Get lost.
Decimated.
Get lost, San Marino.
Give up.
Go back to your fucking bakery.
The Walcott Scud.
Yeah.
Smashed.
Ah, job well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6-0.
Yeah.
It's 6-0.
It's a 6-0 result away from home. It's 6-0 on the road.
It's 14 goals in two games.
It's San Marino's backyard.
Which is in
Italy. They might as well move out. Yeah. We might as well move out. Close the country.
They've been forced out by inflationary gold prices.
Sink it.
Of their own house.
Sink San Marino into the fucking sea.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth talking about anymore.
Cut it out and throw it in.
Reclaimed.
Get a big catapult.
Reclaimed get rid of it. Footballing get, tsunami.
Get Italy to boot it into the stratosphere with its foot.
I've done this 49 times against much better opposition than you, so fuck off.
Yeah, we'll cut it out, put it in the sea, tie it over to the Isle of Wight, and then the residents of the Isle of Wight can laugh at it.
Yeah.
Can just laugh at how shit it is.
I'm sick of talking about it. Just get rid of it. I'm sick of talking about San Marino now. They're not even worth it.
San Marino, more like. Yeah. It's a northern expression about being
Sham old. Marino.
Sham Marino.
Rooney equaled Sir Bobby Robb.
Sorry about the swearing.
Sir Bobby Charlton's
sorry, guys.
Record through a soft penalty.
It was a soft penalty.
Yeah, yeah, that is...
It's a great way to do
it's
it.
It's apt.
against really San Marino, apt. A soft penalty, and not even a particularly good penalty in the corner.
Yeah, but he looks almost apologetic,
I love
he?
It.
Yeah.
I love how that was the way he
even
it.
The magnanimous Sir Bobby Charlton would have at least had a little bit of a...
A penalty for a John Stones handball.
Yeah. Sir Bobby Charlton apparently has been fairly influential in the development of Wayne's career at Manchester United.
Yes.
They've worked very well together. Apparently Charlton would poke his head in all the time in the dressing room and be nice to Rooney and encourage him and stuff. I think even he would have been disappointed with that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Rooney should have missed it and gone, no?
I want a proper one.
San Marino, a little slugs.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, so as we were talking
Slug
earlier
Marino.
About Slug Marino, all right, about how Rooney's got the 49 goals and 106 caps, which is exactly the same as Bobby Charlton. But you struggle to remember a lot of Rooney's international goals because so few of them came at tournaments.
Only one of them in the World Cup.
Yeah, then he scored a few in Euro 2004, didn't he? Yeah, but a great header,
and one in Euro 2012.
Yeah, but. But it's weird. They don't really stick in your mind in the way that a lot of previous sort of England greats do.
A lot of Sir Bobby's were against sort of inferior opposition as well.
Of course, yeah.
And the football...
Maybe I mean harsh on Rooney, but that's just my
I think possibly,
perception of it.
I think the problem with Rooney is you get... people are quite dogmatic about it. It's almost like you're in one of two camps. But I think it's fair to be able to say about Wayne Rooney that he's a fantastic player. And of course, you know, 49 England goals is great. You know, and we're from a generation where we love international football, and he should have a lot of credit for that. Mm. But I do still think also he probably could have gone on to achieve a lot more, and he hasn't done that. And of course, he's had his injuries and blah, blah, blah.
I think it's at tournaments people are honing in on this, because in qualification, he's been magnificent for England.
Yeah.
He scored so many goals, and that's a part of the whole World Cup and European Championship campaigns, that it is getting to the tournament as well. And Rooney has been one of England's most important players for that. His goal tally will back that up, of course. At tournament, 2004, brilliant. And it was a shame. When he got injured, England's hopes really faded away. 2006, he was injured. They rushed him back, if you remember. He had that foot injury. He was injured. He was crocked. 2008 didn't qualify. 2010, they were all rubbish.
Yeah.
And they've been
blasted. He was so isolated as well.
Yeah, they were blasted by
a lot of the problem has been the service to him.
Yeah, but I was going to say, with that particular one, they were blasted by Capello pre-season, taking him up the Alps, was it? Or wherever they went to do the training before.
San Marino it was.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, we got our own back, finally. And then 2012, he missed the first two games. He did score against Ukraine. Against Italy, he was very poor, as was everybody.
Yeah. Mm.
And then in the World Cup...
Well, he went on holiday, he admits it. He said he shouldn't have gone on holiday.
Yeah. Well, and then in the World Cup in Brazil, he played on the left against Italy. Lovely setup for Sturridge. And then in the second game, should have scored early on in the second half against Uruguay. Well, he did get the goal. He was the one driving England forward. You know, was unlucky not to score in the first half of the header. Actually, when you unravel it, you can kind of understand, but still, he's had a lot of tournaments, and apart from 2004, hasn't... But 2004 did happen.
And also,
people often say, oh, but it was 12 years ago. He still did it.
Yeah.
And it was on his CV. He has lit
Rooney,
up a tournament.
To be fair to Rooney, he's had the pressure of being the guy who's going to break Bobby Charlton's record and lead England to glory and this, that and the other since he was 16 years old. And how often have we seen players, you know, put forward as being like the next huge, big, brilliant thing that's going to, you know, take us on to the next level?
Like John
and
Joe
fail.
Sheffield.
Yeah, and like John Joe.
He's not going to fail.
But Rooney has lived with that pressure for so long and just taken it on board and done a fine job, really.
I think that you can sort of say, oh, well, you compare him to Charlton because Charlton won a World Cup. But I think with Rooney, it's you know, phenomenal achievement, and he's not always been right up top. Obviously, he's been an attacking player, probably more attacking than Charlton. But isn't it amazing that we've seen an England player in our lifetime?
Ham Marino.
Fine. Doesn't even work.
Where have you been for the last 5 minutes?
Yeah,
thinking about
in Ham Marino.
Marino.
Yeah. Bennett. Yeah. Ban Marino, right? but, you know, in our lifetime, we've seen a guy equal Charlton's record. And
listen,
that's great, because
listen,
those kind of records you want to see equaled and broken.
It's a situation where it's a team sport. You know, he can't do it all himself. And I'd happily defend him on that front. But I do still think, if you cast your mind back a few years, people were talking about Rooney in the same breath of Messi as Messi and Ronaldo, and talk about them being the top three players in the world.
Since then, people like Stuart Pearce.
No, but generally, people were talking about that. I mean, I remember us laughing at going into... was it going into World Cup 2010 when Rooney had a great qualification?
Yep, that's
and,
right.
And people, and we were saying, because I think Tim Lovejoy said, oh, Rooney, Messi and Ronaldo are the players to watch. And we were laughing at him for saying that because it was so obvious.
Sorry, it was Harry Redknapp, not,
right, okay.
Not Stuart Pearce.
So, so people were, and since then, through inconsistency and potentially fitness problems, Rooney's dropped off face of the earth since then.
Mm. I mean, but
so
you could level that at Messi and Ronaldo in competitions, I mean, to be honest.
Well, not the reason
to the same degree.
Well, not that
not
one.
With, obviously, 2014 World Cup with Messi, but I mean, Messi would have probably played better in Copa America and so on. I mean, look, as I say, you can unravel it, you can make arguments for and against, but I do think when people, so Bobby Charlton, none of us saw him play, we've only seen a few little highlights, you can hold him up in a certain light, right, and that's fine, and he should be held up, he's one of the greats this country's ever produced. I think sometimes people are too quick to have a go at Rooney, say, well, but where has he been? And like I said, when you unravel the tournaments he's been in, actually, there are some other factors there. Yes, he might not have played as well as he would have liked, but he did light up 2004. I know it was only a quarter final and went out on penalties. Fine.
But he was injured for that. He got injured.
He did go injured. He went injured and he went off because of injury. But I think that some people are a little bit harsh to him. I think he's been a fantastic player for England.
He deserves the credit for scoring that many goals at international level. Mm. We can't sit here and say, oh, sometimes it's a shame that people forget how good Gary Lineker was, because he just presents TV shows now, and Wayne Rooney scored one more goal than Gary Lineker at international level, and not, so we have to give credit where it's due.
Exactly. And did you give a bit of credit there when he went in the studio in his sandals after the game? In
well,
the
I think that was a bit of a misnomer, because I think that a lot of the players
they do
wear those type of sandals because of they get told to wear them because of
the
infection in the change room and stuff like that. So it's not a huge deal for me, that.
No. But it was still nice to see.
It looked funny, yeah, it looked funny.
Yeah, and Roy the Boy Hodgson was in the studio as well.
Yeah, a very owly man.
I don't know who sort of wrote it, but really, really made me laugh. The quote under that picture is like, can we go and play yet, Dad? Can we go and have a kick out, Dad? And Roy Hodgson's gone, Wayne, just wait, I'm talking.
Made me laugh. Big John's played well.
He did.
Well,
if it wasn't
in that midfield.
The thing is, it's the, you know, as much as we joke about San Marino, it's, you learn so little from that game. I think the only positives from it in you know, that England can take are getting players like Jonge, Klein, Harry Kane, Ross Barkley and
Harry Kane's
and
got a lovely
Oxlade
goal.
Chamberlain involved just to sort of get them in the team a little bit more. Yes. It's a strange fixture.
Harry Kane's goal wasn't a dink, it was a lift, according to Luke Moore.
I think it was a lift, yeah.
I'd probably agree.
A lift. That's the only thing I've got to say about that game, really.
That might kind of kickstart his season a little bit. Maybe he'll enjoy the next match.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Domestic
Spurs.
Level.
Yeah.
But England, now this is the point I wanted to make, that I was pleased to hear that England have friendlies booked against Spain, France and Germany. Probably next year, I think, when qualification's done and dusted. Because England, when they play in the qualifying, they're, generally speaking, well, pretty much for all of it, maybe there was a half in Switzerland in the first game, that they weren't, but they're always on the front foot.
Yeah.
You can't play reactionary football and play on the break and the counter when you're at home to Slovenia and Lithuania and so on. When England get to the tournament, they then play sides that are better than them, and it's quite difficult to sort of...
Like Wales.
Well, I'll come to them in a minute, but England then need to kind of be able to play on that back foot when they don't have the ball, etc. Having those friendlies, I think, is quite crucial, and I think that's what Hodgson's doing there. Because England, they don't know how to... That's the problem. When you take, say, Wales, we'll come on to them in a bit more, but Wales, I think, almost are in a better position than England in some senses, because Wales play on the break, on the counter, when they're playing throughout the group, and it's worked for them, and they will take that style into the tournament. They all know their jobs. That's the problem for England, is sometimes they're not sure, oh, what are we doing here, and they're not that well adaptable like we see with some of the other better teams, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a well-made point.
Thank you.
Can we talk about Roy Hodgson's ball control?
Oh, we can.
It was great, wasn't it?
Lovely touch.
He trapped a football brilliantly, better than a lot of his players can do sometimes on the international stage.
Yeah.
And he had his hand
well.
In his pocket.
Yeah.
Mm. One more thing I want to say about England, maybe when they're at France, is England do have
really
pace.
Win.
England do have pace up front. And so actually against a Spain or a Germany, might he could do worse, couldn't he, than playing a deep-lying defence, because you don't have a lot of pace at the back. I know the defence isn't that great, but, you know, you have Shelvey and or Henderson or Carrick or whoever you want playing in front of the back four, and actually having maybe Walcott on one of the wings. Rooney can drop deep and help out the midfield.
Or Oxlade-Chamberlain, very quick.
Well, Walcott's more of an attacker. So if you have Walcott maybe the furthest up the pitch coming in off the flank, if Spain or Germany are pressing England, they can't press fully because they're always thinking, oh, you've got Walcott behind
Sterling
you.
As well.
Yeah, okay, fine, yeah. But there's three players, exactly.
And the natural underachievement of England, so they've got that. They got. It's fine, they'll mess it up, it's fine.
Yeah. No, but
they can get in behind us, but something will happen.
Fine, yeah. but this is the point I'm making, is that if England don't go into the tournament thinking, right, we're England, let's try and assert ourselves on this. If they actually try and think, let's be a bit cautious, let's try and hit on the break and play like that style, I think they might actually do all right.
I would love it. Just imagine it. Theo Walcott reckons we can win it. Can we just believe him, guys? Well, can we just kid ourselves?
The good thing with the new format is that, because it's 24 teams, three teams for a lot of the groups will go through to the knockout.
The four best third place teams.
Exactly. So you've got to, I mean, listen, you've got to go something to not qualify for this tournament. But once you've qualified, you should be in pretty good shape to get through to the knockout phase. And after that, it's anyone's game.
It's a lottery.
Mm. Indeed it is. More beautiful chats on the European qualifications after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They're men of the world, not your regular rabble. They love a bit of that.
Hashtag travel.
Group D. Scotland. Lost at home to Germany. We've just been in the pub watching that, actually.
Yeah, valiant effort, though.
It was.
Which will be a great comfort to the Scottish fans.
It's a very open game. I didn't realise it was.
Yeah.
I mean, and Germany just played it not at pace at all. They were just like, yeah, we'll just not go around, and we've won.
It was such a crappy goal to get the game underway. And then Scotland out-crapped them.
Well, that's it's unreal. We were talking about this earlier. It's like he's got more points to deflect things off that no one else can see.
It's like he's permanently driven on by the fact that he'll never be the best Müller to play for Germany.
He might even get more goals than the other one.
He's got like a nuclear reactor in his heart.
Absolutely astounding, isn't
it? Jim, can I just say, he won't get more goals than Gerben at this rate, because I did a little bit of digging around. And so Messi scored 426 senior goals for his club. Gerd Müller, have a guess how many Gerd Müller scored in his club career.
693?
655.
Oh, it's just
ridiculous. It's 709 games.
Ridiculous.
So essentially, everyone's talking about Messi being the greatest player of all time and all that other stuff, and that's another debate. It's feasible that Messi won't really get anywhere near Gerd Müller's scoring record.
He might do.
He might. Yeah, of course he might do. He might even surpass it, but it's feasible that he won't.
Do you know who's going to overtake him in international football?
Robbie Keane. But Müller's got 68 international goals in 62 games, and Robbie Keane, I think, has played about 300.
142 games.
142,
which is absolutely,
it's amazing. That's a great achievement.
But Gerd Müller played in a World Cup winning side.
He did, of course.
Robbie Keane hasn't yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they did the business against Georgia.
They did the business against
still,
Georgia.
Still alive.
That was a vital one. Absolutely vital one, because had they have dropped points there, I think I don't know, I still might fancy Scotland to get third place. Well, actually, I mean, Ireland are 4 points above Scotland.
But Ireland have Poland and Germany to come, don't
they? They've got Germany at home and Poland away. So Germany's the next one. Now, obviously, Germany and Poland, there's only 2 points in it. So Germany will want to, it's still all to play for.
But Scotland play Gibraltar, don't they?
Well, Scotland are away to Gibraltar last game.
Don't think that's going to matter.
That's a guarantee. That's a guaranteed 3 points. They have Poland at home. If Scotland get 4 points from those games, so they've got a guaranteed three. All goes down to that Polish one. If they can get a point at home and Ireland lose both games, they will get into the playoff because of the head-to-head with Ireland.
Yeah. It's essentially down to one of those two. Scotland, not all of them can qualify now. It's Scotland or Republic of Ireland, basically.
Yeah, yeah. But it is in Ireland's hands, but in their hands means Germany at home and Poland away.
Don't push too far, your dreams are China in your hands.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it was that Georgia match, wasn't it, really?
It was.
That was the one.
That was the dirty...
that was the dirty man.
Georgia had a player called... Mac Headleze, I think it's pronounced.
Yeah.
But it was like the Scottish muck, which is quite
That's
unusual.
That's nice.
Who did you like? Was it Carvaker or something?
Cam Carver, the midfield player,
carving
who essentially
up.
Rendered Scott Brown obsolete as a concept.
Which is not easy.
The entire game. But Scott Brown on his day he's mixed it in the Champions League, so he's got ability. I thought the Scotland performance against Germany was encouraging. They did well. They traded blow for blow with Germany, and fair play to them for doing that.
Rod Stewart enjoyed it.
He did, yeah. for a
that
time.
That got a huge cheer where we were.
From
the Germans, oddly.
But the Georgia game, they weren't at it at all. They didn't play any of the sort of football that typified their stuff under Strachan so far. They looked leggy, they looked really tired. I think the heat probably played a part in it, and that is a missed opportunity for them. That was a winnable game.
Yeah.
And if they won that, they'd be in great shape.
Do you know what, even if it was just a point?
They could have got a point tonight, though. That's the thing.
Oh, but that, yeah,
Germany
but
that's understandable.
The thing is, I mean, it's the knock-on effect, isn't it? It's the demoralising effect those two defeats
they
in
lose
a row
two
have.
Games.
I mean, you know, they'd have to a degree would have expected to lose to Germany, and that's not unreasonable. They needed something from that game so the rest of the run-in doesn't feel like a sort of uphill slog.
Mm-hmm. Poland beat Gibraltar 8-1.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah,
they got it, didn't they?
Wasn't Gibraltar's first international goal against Scotland?
I think it might have been.
I think it was.
I love that they got the one.
Yeah. Did you see,
you've had your one.
Everyone on the pitch.
Did you see Paloma Firth played Gibraltar yesterday? I think it was, and she had Hola España. Not a popular move.
No. Oh dear.
Oh, that's a naughty.
Oh, no.
Oh, she done a naughty.
Oh,
yeah.
Paloma.
If you don't
what
understand
a palaver.
Hey.
I was going to say...
It's late, isn't it, Lou? It's one of the later rambles we've done.
My beef is with Gordon Strachan and...
and Paloma Firth equally.
Yeah.
Go on.
Because he... And I understand him picking Stephen Fletcher as a bit of a target man against Germany.
You didn't like this, did you?
Why are they picking him up front against Georgia? Why isn't Jordan Rose not in the squad?
That is a really strange one.
Are you saying he should have done a Craig Levein 4-6-0?
I'm saying, why does Gordon Strachan hate having fun? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. 4-6-0.
I'm giving a voice to the Scotland fans who don't otherwise have one.
And they'll be well pleased with that.
Yeah.
Why don't we give a voice to the Northern Irish fans?
Yes.
Who will be mightily relieved that they got a point at home to Hungary. And now that was such a crucial point.
Hey, absolutely rare sending off for Chris Baird, Neo Baird.
Yeah.
because he got two yellows in the same phase of play.
But they couldn't understand
So basically... Yeah, the Northern Ireland players were... So Chris Baird got sent off for two yellows.
Yeah.
He should have been straight red.
According to the Northern Irish players, they didn't really know what had happened. Because what... I don't know if you obviously didn't see it, but what happened was Hungary broke.
Yeah.
Chris Baird was caught in a sort of altercation off the ball.
Right.
And the Hungary player went down, but the referee played advantage. But obviously there's a head thought, I'm booking him for that.
Yeah.
And then Chris Baird tracked back and took out another player and was booked for that.
Oh,
so
geez.
Basically the referee brushed two yellows at the same time and sent him off.
Yeah.
But as Marcus Rodney says, the second one was probably a straight red anyway. So essentially it was two sendings off and two yellow cards in one passage of play.
That's what your green card should be for.
Chris Baird is my highlight of the week.
I mean, the referee clearly went, I could just give him a straight red here, or I could use a little... I could make a bit of a name for myself.
Yeah. Well, the great thing was, when we first saw it...
Yeah, we were watching this with the sound off.
Yeah, when we first saw it, Marcus didn't see the first yellow. He didn't notice what happened. It took us a while to work it out. And when he got the second yellow, and then we thought the Northern Ireland players were saying it was a mistake, and Marcus went, yeah, Berdinho would never do that. He's too
much experience.
Marcus Speller would never think that. Too much experience.
So I didn't see the first one.
Despite Berdinho's best sabotaging efforts, Carl Lafferty's popped up and saved the day.
Yeah. He really has saved the day, because had they have lost that, then they wouldn't be in good... they would be, but they're still top of the group, because Romania dropped points
and
Greece.
Again, it's that momentum.
Momentum.
It's not only that, but the taking the point in that game for Northern Ireland was not only important to get the point, but it's also important to take away the extra 2 points from Hungary, because they were champing at their heels.
Correct. Yeah, because Hungary, it would then be Romania and Northern Ireland on 16 points and Hungary on 15. And Northern Ireland, they still need to play Finland and Greece at home.
Well,
I think Greece at home.
Speaking of Greece, this is right. Greece won the Euros. For the people who are young listeners who don't know much about football 10 years ago, 11 years ago,
who think this might be an urban legend.
Yeah, Greece won the Euros in 2004.
The thing is, I don't think that's...
In this qualification campaign, they've lost every single home game without scoring a goal.
And that includes Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. To be honest with you, actually, I don't really think 2004 is... Well, I suppose it is relevant, because you should have some kind of legacy to prove that you're a good side and that you can't go up and down that much. But actually, they got to the knockout phase of the last World Cup a summer ago.
Yeah.
They had a better tournament than England.
Yeah.
And Italy.
Yeah.
It's astounding.
But you can't take Euro 2004 away from them, because it's literally all they've got left.
Yeah. But you wonder if the problems in the country itself have had this much of an effect on it.
Well, someone said that to me earlier, and then I pointed out to them that Iraq won the Asia Cup. you know, not that long after.
Let's not rule out the Ranieri factor. He was involved. There's blood on his hand.
That is very true. But yeah, it's such a vital point, that, for Northern Ireland. It was so pleasing, actually, for them to get that, because they'll go through, surely, now. Surely. But the reason is that Northern Ireland, they have a great team spirit and they're all workers in there and all the other cliches and so on and so forth. They've not got that many goals in them. So even if they did go away to Finland looking for a result, and you'd think they would probably be favourites for that match, not a foregone. Well, none of this is a foregone conclusion. Romania drawing at home with Greece.
Just don't throw it away now, guys. Come on.
You've got
head
it.
On.
Yeah.
It's next month, isn't it? The next round of matches.
Yeah, October, yeah.
Yeah, Wales can't throw it away, surely. One point they need. And it's such a shame that they never got it on that night, because everyone was so geared up.
They were
for
ready
it.
For a party, weren't
because
they?
Northern Ireland were ready for a party, but actually, the way it went, everybody left with a smile on their face. But
imagine if they lost at home to Andorra game. That would be absolutely
unbelievable. Well, we were saying, weren't we, that if Scotland actually managed to get into the playoffs, and they were really, really happy about that, they get the Dutch or something.
Yeah. You know? They fancy the Dutch at this point in time.
Yeah, true. Well, we'll come on to them in a sec. But Wales, Gareth Bale scored a lovely header against Cyprus, didn't he?
He did. Yes.
I know that was last week, but worth a mensch.
Yeah, very nice.
Neck muscles.
They were unlucky against Israel. I think it was one of those games, if they had scored early when they had a chance to do so, they would have gone and won it fairly handily, I think. Because Israel weren't really offering anything at all.
Fairly certain Wayne Rooney got one of their penalties.
Yeah, he did, yeah. That was such a nailed on penalty. Yeah. I listened to a lot of the game on Five Live, and it was a guy called, I can't remember his first name, possibly Liam Brown, who's a BBC Wales commentator, I believe, and it was John Hartson and Robbie Savage. So it was like a massive Wales fest.
Yeah. Hartson loves it.
Every time something happened, all you heard was like a load of shouting. It was impossible to know what was going on.
When Hartson's on Match of the Day 2, every now and then, I think he's actually quite good. But whenever a Welsh player is mentioned, he goes, "Good Welsh lad, good Welsh lad," as if that gives him like an extra little bit of kudos.
So the atmosphere sounded absolutely unreal there.
And it's such a shame that last minute goal was clearly offside.
Yeah,
because that was
time
perfect.
I think he could if he just wait.
He got
just
really excited, didn't he?
Yeah. Just giddy. But the thing is, Marcus and I were talking about this earlier as well. It's such a brilliant achievement from Wales. Regardless of the rule change, because you know a lot of people are talking about how the qualifying process in general has been lit up by all these teams feeling they can get a slice of it all. But Wales, they're topping the group on their own merit. Even if the rules hadn't changed, they would be they would be up there. And they've got a very, very good team. Like
they have got good teams.
You could argue it's one of the best squads they've ever had.
Did Coleman say golden generation? I was like, oh,
he
Chris,
did. Yeah, that was a
doing?
Real Coleman generation. I meant Coleman generation.
They're a top quality striker away from being a genuine presence in European football.
They've got a great backbone to that side.
Ashley Williams has been superb.
All I want to say, Jim, just pick up on your point, is I know what you're saying about Wales just topping the group anyway and doing brilliantly, but there is something to be said for the fact that the rules have changed meant that they actually believed they could get there.
Yeah, that's right.
And that essentially served as an attitude changer for a lot of teams. When they started going into games with a lot more confidence.
That's right.
And it also comes down to the good work that was built, the foundations that were built, not only by the late Gary Speed, obviously died tragically, and Chris Coleman's continuing that good work, despite a bit of an iffy start. But also, if you look at that team, that Wales team, there's more than a handful of those players were given their debuts by John Toshack. And he gave them some people were saying on Five Live actually they didn't have much choice because they didn't have much money to players to pick from. That as maybe, but Toshack still deserves credit for giving people like Ramsey, Bale their debuts and actually helping to foster them through. What we're seeing here is actually something we don't see in England really very often, especially in recent years, of a team coming through together and now reaching maturity. Now they may not get an opportunity again to qualify for another major tournament after this one, so there's definitely a feeling of not destiny, but now is the time for them to do something.
There's not many
winning the group though; they'd fancy it, surely.
They're above England in the rankings, aren't they?
They are. I was about to say that.
They've got a chance of getting through the group, as we just said earlier, because three teams from most of the groups will go through.
But as Pete says, though, that because of their improved ranking position, not that the groups at the tournament are going to be on FIFA rankings; they're going to be on UEFA rankings.
Yeah,
whereas Wales aren't particularly high there. But in the next World Cup qualification for Russia, that will help. You know, Wales will be in good stead for that. And because that's what Charlie Nicholas used to say when Bertie Vogts was in charge of Scotland, when Scotland would finish fifth in their qualifying group and stuff. He said it would do his head in so much because then they would drop down a pot. And the qualification would be even harder.
Oh, the coefficients and stuff like that can be fairly difficult to understand, but the general rule is if you win games, it's a good thing. Just keep winning games.
That's
As you
right.
said, the Bertie vote Scotland is a great example. But Wales, regardless of whether it's a FIFA coefficient or a UEFA coefficient, just winning games will help.
Put easy matches to bed. And if you lose the big match as well, you know, you've lost a match you're always going to lose.
I think, but that's the difference though, isn't it? As we were saying about the added incentive to qualify with that extra guaranteed place in the group. Because if you go away to a Finland or you go away to Kazakhstan or somewhere and you're saying to a group of players, oh, come on, let's not make sure we drop down a pot. They're going to, okay, well, we've got a long old season, I'm a bit tired. Mm. But if you're like, come on, we can get there, you're going to be more up for it.
What I was starting to say, though, and that's absolutely true, but I think this has coincided with them genuinely having a really, really good squad together
that, as Luke said, has
been built together. And it's just such perfect timing for all of them. There are so many variables that are almost ripening at the same time. And it's beautiful to see. I'm really excited for them. I'm really glad they get it over the line.
I love a ripe variable.
It's also worth pointing out, by the way, that with Wales getting into a major tournament, which they are going to do now, they've got a reason. We don't know what the draw will be, but they'll have a reasonable chance of getting through the group. If you've got a good, solid, quality defence, I mean, Wayne Hennessy should be playing regular football. He's a good goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. Ashley Williams is a great defender. They've got two Premier League fullbacks, Neil Taylor and Ben Davis. They've got a good, solid defensive lineup, really, because they can sit a couple of midfielders in front of the back four who have got Premier League experience as well, like Joe Allen, Joe Ledley, people like that.
And those two complement each other nicely.
If you have that and all working defender well as a unit, and you chuck Gareth Bale into the mix in knockout football, you'd be surprised how far a team could go on their day.
I think they
don't forget Aaron Ramsey.
I think they're going to win it.
I think they could get out of their group with that extra, with the four third best placed teams. I think Wales could be, as I say, they know what they're doing. They know their style of play when they get to the tournament, and it'd be very interesting to see. And if Belgium hadn't have beaten Cyprus with that late Eden Hazard goal, that would have put Wales through. Mm. You know, it's so close. Actually, that would have been quite funny. You know, a load of Welshmen in the pub after going, "Oh, that was a shit." Wait, what?
they're kind of weirdly comparable, aren't they? Wales and Belgium, in that that team has come through together.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You could say Group A, Iceland.
Wow,
Iceland
is what the Dutch said. Iceland. As I always say. And I will say it again, ladies and gentlemen, you didn't believe me. You might well have done. I don't know what you said. They're the most overachieving nation in football. They've reached their first ever tournament.
Couple of words in response to that. San Marino 0, England 6. If 6-0 isn't overachieving, then scratch me out of this show because I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Mm. Is Ida Goodjohnson still playing for us?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he came on.
Him and all his sons.
Amazing.
I have a stat for you, Marcus, that I think you're going to enjoy. Well, it's not a stat, it's more of just a figure. Iceland only have 22,508 registered footballers.
There you go.
Isn't it something like 80% of the Iceland squad were born in the same hospital? Reykjavik Hospital.
Very nice fact. I don't even care if that one's true. That's such a good fact.
It's a definite good percentage. The nice thing, I bought flights for my mum and dad to Iceland today.
Without asking them.
Yeah. They didn't go. No. I had to sell it to a friend. But my friend...
This is how you end up with two pianos.
he told me this story, because they were supposed to fly out today, right?
Yeah.
But when you bought the tickets a while ago, you said this to me like, I can't believe I bought two tickets to Iceland for my mum and dad and they don't want to go. And I said, what? Because you asked them and they said they did want to go and they changed their mind. You said, no, I didn't tell them.
I didn't tell them because otherwise they'd never do it.
Every single set of parents in the world would say that.
They don't have much on. They could have gone.
What did you think would happen?
What?
How did it play out in your head?
Oh, Peter, you are such the best and only son we have.
Yeah.
Thanks for these tickets.
Peter, you're now past
the fetid shark.
You are our only therefore best son.
Yeah. They would have said, Viltagira Sevel, because they would have learned a little bit of Icelandic like I did
when I
went.
Is anything you've ever done not geared up towards you being able to use a couple of words of a particular language? Because you did this in Japan, and you do it a lot with the...
Korea. Don't forget that.
When have I spoken whatever language the Ivorians live?
The live show in Dublin.
Yes. I said,
Norwegian as well.
That's nice. I quite like that about Pete.
I have a bit of respect.
All I'm saying is,
you yobber throwing picnic furniture around.
There is a lot more that you can cane him about.
learning a couple of words in a foreign language.
That's actually quite good.
It's like you're learning a bit of each language to stitch it together into your own new one.
Yeah.
And again, if he did
Esperanto.
Diggery.
Well, I've got a couple of points to make.
Peter.
Right. You've already made them, haven't
and
you?
And all that nonsense we just heard there. Yes, listeners, I agree. One, I think that you... This is just to my knowledge.
Right.
Right, you have learnt portions of the following languages.
We're well off piste here.
English. No, I'm joking. Right. Korean.
Yeah.
Japan.
Yeah.
Japanese.
Japan.
Japanese.
Japanese. Japango.
Irish. Norwegian. Russian. Out of the blue, for no reason, you went for that lesson down the road.
Estonia.
Estonian, yeah.
Scat.
Scat.
Now, hang on, but when you're saying all this, how many... Do you speak...
No, well, I've never learnt a language to any sort of great degree, so yeah. If I go abroad, I feel embarrassed.
Just you're choosing one. The hardest languages in the world.
There's your bleeding.
Didn't you
That's
learn
the
a bit
Mandarin?
There's your foreign, mate.
Let me get onto Iceland.
Hang on.
Okay.
You just dragged us away from us.
Well, all I'm saying is...
No,
Pete's
come on,
parents,
we'll go back to Pete's foibles on its new dedicated section this week.
Pete's parents only reacted the same way any other set of parents ever would do.
Right, fine.
They were
fine.
Never going to go themselves, so I took matters and finances into my own hands.
Yeah, okay.
Which you could have done by either asking them or just not booking the
ticket. They would never have agreed to it. And they didn't go.
Surely there's a clue there.
Yeah.
The Dutch were unhappy with the sending off. Yeah, for Bruno Mars,
and
indeed.
Rightly so. It was a terrible sending off. It was at a premium that was a yellow card.
Don't know any Dutch.
Yeah,
double Dutch.
At a premium that was a yellow card.
Yeah,
but I think that might be reputation there.
The penalty was nailed on though. Definite penalty.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pen.
So
it was a pen.
Slotted
the Czech
away.
Republic and Iceland—they're both after top spot. They're both qualified. Yeah. Mm. The Czechs.
Only two of the Icelandic squad, I believe, play in Iceland. I think a lot. They have exported their players quite successfully.
They've only got one team.
Yeah, only eight of the 23-man squad that was picked for this particular international break for the Czech Republic play. Only eight play outside of Czech Republic. So a load of their players are domestic. That's right, brilliant. Okay. Which is obviously the Czech league's not particularly strong. So what an achievement that is.
Iceland and Czech Republic doing really well is obviously brilliant. But Austria absolutely tearing it up.
They're having a lovely time as well. Brilliant. Austria got some very handy, very handy.
Can I say something potentially controversial? And it might not be controversial because you guys might agree with me.
Holland are rubbish.
I don't think the Dutch are actually that good anyway. I think people are being surprised because they're thinking, oh, all these great players they've got, and they're thinking of World Cup 2010. But if you look at three of the front four that played against Iceland, Schneider, old, Huntelaar, old,
they
Van Persie,
be where
old
they
and
are.
Slow,
yeah.
And Wijnaldum, who's inconsistent, and was great last season, captain PSV last season to the title, I think.
Iceland, 22,000 registered footballers.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the Dutch have a strange problem. That it's a transitional time, isn't it? Their players are either too old or too inexperienced, and there's just no one bridging that gap.
But it doesn't mean to say it should lead to this. Should it?
No.
Oh, no, it's an absolute, like, you know,
some of those players. Some of those players were a part of the third best side in the world.
Well, you could level a lot of this against England, you know, 10 years ago or something like that, when just things were just falling to bits.
It was never this bad. No, but Pete...
Should we lend them Lampard and Gerrard?
No, England never... to work. Only once have England had to go through a playoff to my...
we're all very good at getting there.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. No, but this is what we're talking about. We're talking about qualification. And the Netherlands... You've got that extra place in there.
I love the fact that
this is what I mean. Yeah. If it was, they didn't finish top and they finished second or third. Nah, they've got that extra place.
Yeah, but they might finish fourth.
The Czechs and the Icelandic.
The great thing about the Dutch squad is it is literally the blind leading the blind. It is literally that.
Yeah,
let that one go.
Yeah, thanks.
But Turkey though, eh? What a win they got against the
Holland.
you can only beat what's put in front of you.
Yeah.
Now the Netherlands, they're away to Kazakhstan. Which is a trip that anybody could do without, because it's an awkward one. And it should probably be quite warm there, I'd imagine. Mm. And then home to Czech Republic. Turkey are away to the Czechs and then home to Iceland. So Turkey have got slightly harder running.
Yeah. Iceland are on the plane, though, so...
And the Czechs
are as well. It was party time.
True. So it will be interesting to see if the Netherlands will reach that playoff. Indeed it will.
They will almost certainly meet Ireland or Scotland. It just seems written.
Seems written in the stars.
I'm looking forward to England getting knocked out by the Dutch in the quarterfinal.
Oh, yeah. Quarters?
For a Robin Hattrick or something.
I'll take quarters now.
Yeah. Quarters would be quite an achievement.
It would be, wouldn't it? Right then. There were some other groups that are happening, but we can't be arsed talking about them. Portugal laboured to a 1-0 win away to Albania.
Oh, God, we watched that from the corners of our eyes, and it looked awful.
It did, yeah. What about Italy? Two 1-0 wins at home against Malta and
Bulgaria. They start slow.
Yeah. If there is two results not worth talking about on this entertainment show, it's 2-1-0 wins for Italy over Malta and Bulgaria.
Italy have started slow in advance of the tournament.
Well, they started quick in the match against Bulgaria, though, didn't they? They scored quite early.
De Rossi.
I hadn't even sat down, I was making tea.
Very soft penalty. Mm. And then he got himself sent off.
Get there early next time.
No, I scored a pen and Malta off.
Oh, were you?
Scored a pen and then got sent off. Italy, their side doesn't look too inspiring, but actually, when you look at the team, there's a lot of experience there. Okay, it didn't help them out so much in the last World Cup, but I think that was a bit of an anomaly. I would expect Italy to be all right when the tournament comes around.
Yeah.
That's not a ridiculous opinion there.
No. But for the 2006 World Champions.
But again, there's no point in saying that.
Why?
Because 10 years ago.
Who still plays in the team? There might be one or two.
Exactly. Got experience of winning the
tournament. England, the 2006 World Cup quarterfinalists. I mean...
Yeah, and we'll get to the quarterfinal again. Thank you very much. I've proven my point.
Well, that didn't help. No, you haven't proven your point at all. Because the two World Cups since Italy went out in the first round.
Yeah, fair.
Thank you. Right. Point,
yeah.
Norway.
They were terrible in 2010 as well, weren't they? I forgot about that.
Norway, they won two games. And Berget, with a lovely bit of composure, to score the first against Croatia. That was one of my favourite little bits
of
play.
He's got a proper Viking beard.
He does.
We used to talk about, you know, good footballer beards a lot on the show, but then beards became really annoyingly popular and they're everywhere. But that's a proper Nordic one. That is like, you know, that's out of the fjords, that.
One of the originals.
Very true. There is the wonderful comprehensive roundup of the European qualification for that international break. We've got an email and highlights of the week and more coming up after this.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
That was a pleasure.
Never a chore.
I'm going to read out an email here. It's in response to a recent opening question when we asked about unnecessary rule changes.
Oh, was that a fortnight ago?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's from James. He says, "Hi, everyone. My unnecessary rule will be to change the effect of the red card on the game. We've talked about green cards. Where's he going? Yeah. I'll tell you. If a player commits a foul that incurs the wrath of a red card instead of the player being dismissed, there is a forced substitution with the manager of the team having to take the field. Imagine the possibilities," says James. "That. Not only do we increase the entertainment value of the Premier League, but this could also empower the players. Imagine John Terry getting himself purposely sent off so he can sit in the changing room as he watches Mr. Mourinho mark Sergio Aguero, or inevitably take the ball off Eden Hazard as he demands that he'd be responsible for taking the team's penalties." I don't think that's a great example, because I don't think Terry would do that to Mourinho.
No. I think the potential on this, it would be something like getting Dick Advocaat on the pitch. That would happen fairly regularly,
really,
I would have thought.
But you would... imagine Dick Advocaat. Players would be subbed off if they got booked.
Tell you what, though. for Swansea, for example, it could actually be an advantage. Monk's not long retired. Yeah. You know, he's probably still decent.
Yeah.
Eddie Howe.
You know, final 20 minutes for managers would be all right.
But then it would force clubs, or not force clubs, but clubs could then think about hiring younger managers then.
Yeah.
Who have recently been playing. So in the example of Gary Monk, if somebody's running through on goal, Ashley Williams or Taylor or one of their backs would say, "Hang on a minute, I'm going to chop him. So we're going to save the goal here. I'll get sent off, that's fine, and then Monk can just carry on."
Yeah, so you might have a situation where clubs have, like, a manager of, like, say, Andrea Pirlo, and, like, a director of football of, like, Pep Guardiola.
Yeah. What happens if the manager then gets sent off? Does the director of football have to come on?
No, what I mean what I mean is the director of football is clearly the one making the real decisions, but they have, like, a sort of figurehead manager.
I know what you mean.
You can imagine. Situation.
Well, if he does a Cantona and he gets sent off for 8 months... Yeah. Well, does the manager have to play for that long?
Oh, yeah, if it carried over, that'd be great. So the manager would have to play that player's ban as well.
I could see Allardyce going mental if one of his players got sent off.
Oh, come on!
Bloody hell. Enjoyed that. And now it's time for highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
Luke Moore.
I haven't got a jingle anymore. I had a jingle for 1 week, didn't I?
Did you?
It's gone now, though.
There you go.
That's not it, is it? That'll do, yeah. Is that highlights of the week in scat? Translated. Here we go. What have we got here? Yeah, we had some good ones this week, actually. This is a bit of a cheeky one from Aidan Jones. After we spent quite a lot of the show bigging up Wales, Aidan Jones cheekily says, "My highlight of the week is Gareth Bale being 1 win away from qualifying for the Euros." Because obviously he's been responsible for pretty much every single goal. No. I think that's a bit unfair,
naughty.
Actually, Aidan. Yeah, a little bit naughty. Patrick Seller says, "Check out this statement from BT Sport after numerous complaints from subscribers. The price of a BT Sport subscription is £15 a month and Michael Owen. It is clearly stated in our terms and conditions." I don't know if that's true, but I don't really care, to be honest. There's one for you here, Pete, you, as our resident zoo expert.
Thanks.
Jonathan Morton says, "My highlight of the week was seeing a football. in the zebra enclosure at my local zoo. Huh. According to the nearest steward, the striated beasts love a little kickabout. I'm assuming they all spot Newcastle, Juventus or Notts County.
I was about to say, I think John Carver's running. He's trying to manage them.
That's wonderful.
Any zebra playing
and doing a better
stories?
Job.
Yeah. Anybody, sorry?
Any he's got zebra- them kicking up that zoo league.
Any zebra playing football stories?
No, I don't think... No.
The last...
Who was talking about eating zebra?
I was.
We were doing
I
something
ate zebra
else,
in Watford.
Yeah. Zebra in Watford is such a weird thing to do.
I know, but I did it.
There you go. Nick Murphy says, Liberian international goalkeeper Nathaniel Sherman, which is a great name.
Liberian goalkeeper.
Check this out. He missed his country's game with Tunisia because he walked into a transparent glass panel at the team hotel while talking on his mobile.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
Hashtag alleged match fixing. Oh, there's a good one from Brad. I think Brad was in touch last week as well, so he's doing very well. He's on a bit of a run. He's on a hat trick. He says, mine has to be South Sudan winning their first ever competitive match, 1-0 versus Equatorial Guinea.
Nice.
Good for them. Very South good. Sudan are currently ranked 198.
I know, very new right. country. They've only been around for a few years. Sudan was the biggest country in Africa until it got chopped into the two.
There you go.
Now it's Algeria.
Now it's Dublin, yeah. Mm. Stephen Algio says, last week one of you referred to the concept of having a pet as like having a live Tamagotchi. Which actually, when you think about it, it's
must
quite
have missed
weird,
that, yeah.
Because
yeah.
the pets came around first, didn't
what
they?
A weird well,
that
ill
very
memory
much
are.
The joke,
yeah.
surely.
Well, yeah. Who knows? We can't remember our own jokes.
No. And jokes is, you know, kind, isn't it?
And people, exactly. And people have been, as we know, been putting themselves forward for official certain things of the Football Ramble. We've got one here from Ian Aberdeen. He says, alongside your official train conductor, I could be the official Ramble train driver. As long as you want to travel only to the West Country or South Wales, and you have to buy your own tickets, up to you.
Best offer we've got, isn't it? So, you know, if you can top that, let us know.
I like the way he says, up to us. It's up to us. We'll have a think about that, Ian, and get back to you. Mm. That is the end of my highlights of the week.
I've got a couple of highlights. Drogba scoring a perfect hat trick for Montreal Impact. Against Chicago Fire. Oh, he looked like Roy the Rovers.
Good stuff.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
He's going to have fun over there, isn't he?
He's going to have a lot of... He is already, Peter. Yep. He is already. And this was my highlight of the week. A little leaflet came through my door. Now, I live in West London. And a leaflet for the Sasa Churchic Football Academy came through.
This genuinely happened,
yeah,
right?
This is a real thing that he's holding
so
right now.
Underneath that, Sasa Churchic Football Academy, it's got first step, right step. Then you got a picture of Sasa Churchic grabbing the ball off quite a young Jamie Carragher. Welcome, boys and girls. He describes himself as the Yugoslavian George Best.
Nice.
All ages are welcome. And then he's got two mobile numbers. Call anytime, 7 days a week.
Amazing.
Should we ring him?
Amazing.
We should ring him.
That'd be great.
Yep. It's all there. I love this. It's at the Acton Sports Pavilion in West London. According to him, it's located in the heart of West London. It isn't, because I live in West London. I know it isn't.
You are the heart of West London.
Correct.
And, you're the beating heart of West London.
Fastest growing football academy in London. Who knows what
not
that is?
Not judging by the start of that leaflet.
Yeah, that's been cleared knocked that up image. By Sasa Churchill.
And if you're thinking to yourself, oh, all ages, call anytime. Well, hang on. It is open for everybody, but is it though? Social program places available for truly talented players.
And if you want to see that leaflet, or we've Instagrammed it on our Instagram account, which is The Football Ramble.
That's wonderful.
Oh, do you want a website
roundup?
It's like
the Brian Honor Club.
Of course.
Sorry.
That's all right. I was just going to offer a website roundup, Pete, if you're interested.
Well, I was just chucking in some whimsy from my past.
I'm very sorry to interrupt a mention of Brian Honor. I could never do that with a clear conscience. The website roundup this week from the always excellent Kelly Wells. She says, check out two of the Premier League's most enduring talents reuniting under the auspices of HMV's football extravaganza. Update on Raheem Sterling and Fabian Delph's quest to become England's most unpopular players prior to Euro 2016. Jim White's horribly misjudged impression of a Mad Men Lothario Don Draper. That's got to be seen to be believed, that.
Is that thing you did with the tie?
Yeah.
That was disgusting.
Yeah. And she also finishes off with some reimagined 90s kits in and around a photo of Georgie Campos.
Oh, there we go.
Can't argue with that.
Lovely old job. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. As you know, the website is thefootballramble.com. We're on Instagram.
Yeah.
We're on Facebook. All over it, Jimbo. All over it. Any more for any more?
Arsenal Stoke live on Absolute Radio, 3 p.m. this Saturday. Goal!
Lovely job.
Possibly a goal. Could be a 0-0 that one.
Yep.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Give us a vela common mereknigin.
And it's goodbye.
Bill, please.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's from James. He says, "Hi everyone. My unnecessary rule will
My unnecessary rule
Scatman.